Welcome to E-commerce with Coffee, a podcast powered by Amber Engine, where we share e-com secrets for brands over your favorite brew. We start with the caffeine and then leap enthusiastically into behind-the-scenes e-com insights that led to the success of our guests. I'm Nate Svoboda, and I'm about to serve you up the best. Let's get started. Welcome to this episode of E-commerce with Coffee. Today, I'm speaking to Yanni Kosminski. He's the founder and CEO of Multiply Me and Escala, which are respectively a consulting firm for e-commerce and Amazon agency or brands, and also a staffing and recruiting firm. So he kind of handles both pieces of that massive puzzle that, you know, lots of brands are focusing on today. So anyway, we're going to be talking a lot today about scaling a brand and really what his experiences have helped to form the processes his teams employ. So anyway, Yanni, welcome to the show today.
Nate, it's an absolute honor to be here. I've got to say, from all the podcasts I've been on, you have to have done the most in-depth and most really hardcore research. And I can't tell you, as someone coming on, for anyone that's going to put in that level of effort and energy and really do their work, like you, the way you nailed my name as well, can I just say you're probably the first person ever to actually get it in one without asking me the question. So mate, really... I'm just very grateful to be here sitting with you and chatting.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'd love to take all the credit for that. But LinkedIn has that nice feature now where you can put your name pronunciation. So, you know, I'll totally plug that. But no, I appreciate the praise. I'm really excited to chat with you today. I mean, you've worked with some massive brands. I mean, maybe can you list out some of the notable, you know, companies that you've worked with previously?
Yeah, sure. So my background was in creative advertising and digital marketing. So, you know, while my focus today is on e-commerce, historically it was just digital marketing. So I used to do strategy for the likes of Sony, MasterCard, Mercedes-Benz, Medtronic, Mondelez, which is a multi-billion dollar conglomerate out of Europe that most Americans aren't familiar with, but makes some of the best chocolate in the world. So that was really my history growing up in this space, so to speak.
Okay. And it's interesting. I mean, for those of our listeners who've never heard of Multiply Me or Escala, it's interesting the cooperative relationship that you've built, right? You help identify talent for businesses, and then you're also actually helping put people into positions and help with the process, the operation, et cetera. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you identified those different needs and, you know, put the two together?
For sure. Well, I think it's probably helpful if I share, like, after that journey for about a decade in creative advertising, digital marketing, that was web development and design, social content production and strategy and all of those pieces, which are fundamentals of running any online business today. I stepped more heavily into e-commerce. So I was actually a part owner of an Amazon business that was doing $2 million in revenue when I joined and grew to $5 million 12 months later. With some of the mechanisms and levers that we built into it, we effectively helped scale that operation that was ultimately acquired. But in that process, effectively built out the prototype of Multiply Me. So when I joined that company, there were 5 employees in the business. And the reality was the guy who was doing design work was not a designer. And the person or the people that were handling supply chain and logistics would literally... all right, maybe we'll invest another $50,000 and get 10,000 more units. Like, there was no real methodology or strategy to what they were delivering. And so what we did was we built the operational infrastructure, we built the teams, and we also invested in understanding, well, you know, how is the work distributed? What is the bandwidth and how big do we need to build the team? So I found the incredible talent that exists in the Philippines through that experience. And that led me into Multiply Me. So if you fast forward, this is now 2 years on since Multiply Me started and Escala shortly after that, we find executive level talent. So everything from project managers to designers, to copywriters, to inventory, logistics specialists, you name it, anything around the e-commerce ecosystem, we'll identify that talent. We do spend a lot of time headhunting them, and we help with the onboarding process too and the overarching management. So we handle payroll and healthcare and social security, HMO, PhilHealth, 13th month, all the things that are statutory mandated benefits in the Philippines. We take care of, you know, I would call it the messy work. It's the things that people don't really want to touch, but it's the things that help get you the best talent. So that's Multiply Me. And Escala, our process improvement consulting practice, that is where we deploy, and we have our own maturity analysis and framework around how systemized an e-commerce business is based on three factors: people, process, and technology. And what we'll do is we'll identify the gaps and the bottlenecks, and then we'll build a future state. We'll look to understand how we can optimize this, and then we'll build out the SOPs, the training videos, all of the documentation, and then we'll integrate it into a project management tool. So the two of these, and I'm sure I sort of picked up a little bit before, Nate, but I'm going to tell you why those are two separate businesses as opposed to just having one. And the reason why we split them, originally we were sort of Multiply Me came first and then Escala. And originally was it going to be Multiply Me staffing and Multiply Me consulting? And what we realized was that the maturity of the landscape of the market wasn't ready for a company like Escala. It's really people who have a few more gray hairs than even me, and definitely you know, both of us probably put together. Those are the guys and girls that really understand what true process improvement management consulting is. Our team comes out of EY and Accenture and Deloitte, and to typically engage companies like that, you're investing literally millions of dollars. So we split them because Multiply Me would be attractive to everyone. Understands what offshore talent is, and you know, it's not a new concept. The way we approach it and how specialized we are in the niche definitely is a point of difference. But Escala is altogether different. So we work with clients that are doing anywhere from $2 to north of $100 million in revenue on the Escala side. And we can work with smaller businesses on the Multiply Me side as long as they're ready to bring on full-time talent.
Well, and so given the difference in needs that, you know, a $2 million company versus a $50 million company are gonna need, talk to us a little bit about, you know, how much of identifying the roles that are needed to be hired for are you doing versus someone's coming to you and saying, hey, I need a director of Amazon. You know, I don't know if that's really a title anyone has, but, you know, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I guarantee you that's a title that people have. I feel like I learn a new title every other day. You know, we were just talking before we hit record, but I thought we would bring on the director of marketing, and it turns out he's the chief growth officer. That's the title. So to answer your question, you know, on the Multiply Me side, a lot of people will come to us and say, I need a director of Amazon. I need a director of marketing. I need a head of this. And when you start to ask the questions, why do you need that? It's because it's really due to a lack of knowledge. And so our mission inside of Multiply Me is not just to find the world's, well, the best talent that exists in the Philippines, and I would say some of the best talent in the world, but it's also to help educate the business owner, the person who's trying to grow their skill set. And so we follow a process where what we look to do is understand, well, what is the mission? What is the mission? What does success look like in this function? So I'll give you an example that comes up a lot. A lot of people will say they need a head of marketing inside of their Amazon business. And when you start to get down to the mission, like what does success look like in the role, it may actually just be external traffic. I just need to build external traffic because I've been so focused on my on Amazon campaigns. And so when you define the mission, and then we help them understand what are the outcomes that lead to successfully accomplishing that mission, and then what attributes drive those outcomes to be successful in that mission, then we help build their job description effectively on the back of that. And you know, I'd say to anyone going through this process, doesn't matter if you're hiring and you're just cutting your teeth on Amazon, you're looking to hire your first part-time VA, which is a term I hate, but I'm going to use it because it's used, you know, pretty unanimously globally. Understand why you're bringing your first hire or your 50th hire into the business. Define the mission and what success looks like in it. Build the KPIs against it, and then understand what outcomes are needed to achieve that goal. And once you do that and you understand the attributes of the person, then you can start to more effectively look for the right person. Because up until that point, you're just taking a title and probably pulling a job description off, you know, off of Indeed or Monster or any other job board that you find. And as an outcome, you know, you're not really understanding what you're trying to solve.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So, there's there's a number, I don't know the exact number, but there's a number of like executive search firms out there, right? Because you have to identify there's a difference between an executive search and just a general hiring platform, right? So, but it sounds like you identified, or your team identified, a gap in the global hiring trends that you've seemed to have, you know, figured out a way to make this process easier of bringing in people that know what they're doing, aren't going to cost an arm and a leg to get them on your team. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you came to realize that and what the gap is you fill in the market?
Yeah. So if I'm understanding correctly, you know, what I saw, and when I built the business, I went down like 30 to 40 sales funnels of typical BPO, business process outsourcing businesses. And what I realized was that people were really invested in building sort of like a team lead, and then that team lead on the Philippines side building out the team and not having real direct one-to-one relationship. And so I'm a big believer that to build an effective company, you need to invest in the culture. And so every person that we place inside of other businesses, it's about building their culture. It's not about building just our culture. And it's not just about having us build them their teams. You know, I come from agency land, and I don't believe in agencies as a long-term solution. I think that they're great for a period of time, but at some point you need to bring some of that IP internally. So, you know, I mean, that's a different conversation. But Nate, am I answering your question?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I definitely would say that you are. But so taking that even then one step further, so the types of roles that are being hired for, I would imagine that there's some difference between an e-commerce brand and, you know, traditional retail brands 10, 15 years ago. What are some of those differences in terms of the needs these companies have?
For sure. I mean, it's a totally different ecosystem today when you talk about e-commerce brands. I mean, you know, just if you look at what is being delivered. So I'll take you back to marketing. So titles that didn't exist before, you know, like we just had a conversation today. I was talking about how a structure would be like inside sales that moves into, you know, the actual sales team and how that works. You know, 10 years ago, that was a normal way in which you'd build out specific teams for, you know, maybe not brick and mortar, but yeah, maybe aspects of brick and mortar when you talk about channel distribution. But now you're looking at customer success. You know, now you're looking at roles like chief revenue officer. Now you're looking at CX, customer experience. You know, you have a whole new ecosystem of roles where they didn't exist before. You know, like I have multiple UX UI dedicated designers inside of our business, which, you know, honestly, 5 years ago, UX UI design wasn't even really, it wasn't as hot as it is today, because our entire relationship, our entire interaction happens digitally. So the investment that you place on your website, on what that experience looks like, you know, email marketing specialists, sequencing around that. I mean, these things didn't exist. Definitely 10 years ago, they didn't exist, having real dedicated, you know, think about it, like funnel specialists and chatbot specialists. Like there are so many roles that pander toward the digital experience that didn't exist before. And so, you know, there's no surefire way of how do you build out the team and what role comes next. That really is a business to business experience. But I'd say, you know, when you're looking through that process, really understand what are the things that you can move off the table away from you that creates the most drag and the least amount of value creation by you, the individual owner, or, you know, the key person. You want to have the most important people working on the most important things, not the most urgent.
Right. And I think it goes back to what you said earlier about figuring out what is the goal you're trying to achieve and what are the things I need to do to achieve that goal. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we talked about all these new tools and methods and, you know, whatever that are available today, but weren't recent up until recently. And so there's all these skills that weren't even existing 5-10 years ago. So roles and titles are cheap, and, you know, whatever somebody's going to be called doesn't matter. It's more the skills that they're performing. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, the businesses as they come to work with you, right? They hit a point where they realize they need help, or maybe they don't realize they need help and someone's coming in externally and telling them that. What are some of the indicators a business has that tells them they are ready to scale? They're ready to begin engaging with you, or, you know, I'll digress there.
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that I should probably stop to think about and answer more frequently. But I would say some of the key drivers or some of the key insights. You know, if I look at the typical, let's take the Amazon seller experience. Usually, what happens is you get to this magical number of sort of 1.5 to maybe even 3 million in revenue, and you had this superhero founder who was really attacking absolutely every aspect of it. And at some point in time, we all have 168 hours in our week, and there's just not enough hours in the week to achieve all of the different delivery expectations and outcomes that you need. So I think it's when the sellers typically get to a stage of burnout, or to be quite frank with you, Nate, we're working with sort of larger and larger businesses. We work with a lot of aggregators today. So I think for them, it becomes, when do they have some of their key heads in place so that the senior management can build out the sub teams, and that's when you start to really scale. So I would say, depending on where you're at, so if you're feeling burnt out, you're feeling that you're trying to attack everything and you are your business, that's usually a pretty key indicator that it's probably time to speak with Multiply Me. And I'd say on the Escala front, like I said at the start, we broke the two businesses for a reason, because not everyone is going to understand the true intrinsic value it brings as a solution to have all of your processes documented. But the reality is, it comes into play so that there's no key linchpin, no individual that is going to make or break your business. You know, right, you can lose key personnel and maybe you won't move as fast, but you're going to have everything documented and optimized, and you'll actually build a growth and scaling roadmap of who do you need and when do you need them over the next 12, 18, 24 months. And so you really have a blueprint to where you're headed. So, you know, I'd take it all the way back and just say, who do you want to be and how quickly do you want to get there? And that will really dictate how you would leverage a solution like Escala or even Multiply Me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, not enough people realize how important it is to have documented processes, because you win as a team, you lose as a team, right? You can't have one person who, you know, has all of the access, all the ideas, everything, and then if, you know, if they leave or if something happens, then, you know, you're kind of up the creek without a paddle, sort of. So I guess, you know, I think you already hit on this a little bit, but so, you know, a business comes and works with you. What are some of the biggest challenges that they should expect, or that you tell them to expect as they begin, you know, bringing on this new talent, you know, reimagining their processes? I guess if you had to boil down the top two or three.
Yeah. So if I had to boil down the top two or three, I would say that there's, like everything, there's an education process. So while in Escala, we'll build out all the documentation and we'll educate you very clearly, it takes a little bit of time for the team to digest and accept and move forward with these new processes. And so there's always going to be that transitional phase. So I'd say that's probably one of the biggest challenges as well. Before that, though, comes, depending on the way you've built your culture, also comes the fact that, like, you know, for the first time, you have external professionals from an operations perspective coming in and looking at every single aspect of your business, helping you improve it. And so I think for some people, it can feel a little bit, you know, uncomfortable, right? Like, here I am, minding my own business, delivering work day in, day out. And, you know, depending on the level of sophistication of the business will also dictate, like, are there KPIs and expectations, and are they driving towards something? So it can be probably a little daunting. Like, one of the things we always say to every client that we engage is, hey, we're here to help. Like, anything that you share with us is all for the betterment of the business and for your career. We want to help put the best people in the best seats and really help everyone excel. So I would say those are probably some of the challenges.
No, I appreciate you spelling all that out. And I mean, I imagine the clients you work with appreciate, because you set yourself as a partner there, right? You're in it to help them and make them a success. Now, I know that, you know, you're sort of going through this internally in your own company, but so as someone is bringing new people onto the team, right, the founder that has been the star up to this point, they've handled everything, now they're realizing there's not enough time in the day to do everything. What does it look like for a leader of a business to be removing themselves from the process, right? I guess at what point should they be hands-on versus hands-off? How do they make that determination?
Yeah, mate, you're, like I said,
I know you're struggling with that yourself, so I'm really interested to hear your idea here.
Yeah, the most well-informed and well-prepared host of a podcast that I think I've ever sat on. So how do you approach that? So I'd say, and I think that this is a trouble that most entrepreneurs face, you know, like the notion of burnout is a very real thing and something that people really need to, you can't be flying too close to the sun. You know, you need to protect your space and your time. And, you know, I'm not a great example of what that looks like. I'm somewhere in between, right? You know, while I look to protect my time, I'm always trying to achieve the next thing and the next thing and really pushing to drive forward. So I think that the first thing is understanding what your strengths are, you know, depending on what stage you're at. So for me, and we talked a little bit about it before we hit record, like there's two things that I love doing. You know, I love finding people to bring into our ecosystem and give them the opportunities that they might never have had elsewhere. For me, creating that win-win solution is something that I just get such pleasure out of, seeing when you bring someone in, it resonates with me. I think about when I worked at agencies my whole life, and you know, they probably got 5% of my potential output, maybe 10% if they're lucky, because I was always held inside of my box, expected to perform a certain way and think how management thought. And we've instilled a culture of giving single-threaded leadership and ownership and decision-making to everyone at every level, you know, obviously within some levels of parameters, but that's how we are able to grow and scale. So firstly, identifying where you sit and where you're best at. And then for me, I like to bring in the people that complement or have skill sets that I do not possess. And that was sort of the first embryonic stage. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about where I'm at and how I don't have the time. I mean, why marketing was the last aspect or the last sort of domino to fall is that's my background. So I held on to that longest because I could, you know, I could take it on. So I did take it on, which is not advice I would ever give anyone. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should be doing it. But it had worked up until this point. And what I realized over the last 6 months is we can't continue to perform the way we did to get us to this point. It's not going to get us to the next point. So that's why I have a chief growth officer starting tomorrow, and I brought on a chief of staff, and we're continuing to invest heavily in our people so that we can free ourselves up to focus on the areas that we're going to have the most impact. So if you're going through this process, there's a few things you can take. One is, depending on if you're really small, look at your calendar, understand how you're investing your time, mark things that have to be you as a 5, things that don't really need to be you as a 1 or a 2, and really start to build a case for what are the things that I'm energized and passionate about. Those are the 5s and 4s. And what are the things that don't really need to be me, or I don't really want to touch. Those are the 1s and 2s. And from there, you can start to design what does the mission look like around those skill sets, not trying to create a VA, but maybe you don't like financials. So bring in a financial controller or, you know, a bookkeeper, depending on the level you're at. So that's one way you could approach it. And then I would say the next is like understanding the core functions of the business. Hire the managers first, bring in their teams, let them build their teams, so that also creates a really positive experience where, you know, I'm handing over a marketing team today, and yeah, they're a brilliant team, but Tom didn't build them. So I'm sure 6 months from now, he's going to want to have influence and probably add several people to the equation.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said, right? I think that it's become really cliche for people to talk about, you know, oh, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? But it's critical. It's critical to have that level of self-awareness. And then at the end of the day, to your point, bringing in people that complement your skill set. I love that. I really do. So shifting back a little bit, we talked a lot about, you know, how should a business go about scaling? Is it different for an e-com versus a traditional retail brand? You know, if we think in the context of this past year and a half plus that we've had, how has that impacted, if at all, when and how a brand should think about scaling, right?
Can I swear on this?
No. Yeah, go for it.
No. I was just going to say supply chain is fucked. So when you talk about how and when to scale, there's a lot more compounding challenges that exist. And that's across the board. Brick and mortar, retail, e-commerce, everyone is dealing with the same problems. And particularly, you know, for those Amazon sellers, those poor bastards out there who, you know, are stuck where they can't even get the inventory that they have in stock inside it because Amazon cannot handle the increase in, you know, in inventory that's needing to ship to them. So there's the cost drivers attached to it. That's become a real headache. You know, it was $4,000 for a container. I've heard prices up to north of $20,000 and even close to $30,000 for a single container. Oh, yeah. Cost of raw materials have also gone up. You know, what is it? In Taiwan, they can't get the silicone to actually build enough of the chips that go into the Teslas. I mean, you know, no one is immune from what is happening right now globally. And so when it comes to scaling, you really need to pick your battles and be very strategic and, you know, plan long term as to what that looks like. How am I going to increase my supply chain and my production capabilities? How am I going to finance that? How am I actually going to make sure that the dollars I invest in my media spend today actually add value to my business, don't destroy it. And before you know it, you're out of stock, you've lost your clients, they've gone to a competitor who are more strategic in how they built their run, or they had deeper pockets, or they had better opportunities with their manufacturing partners and with their 3PL and their supply chain and their FBA prep and, you know, whatever else goes into it. So I'd say probably the biggest challenge as a general business owner right now is the supply chain equation. But I would say that also on the other side is the talent battle. There is a massive underservice of talent for the demand that exists in market today. And it's just not going to grow at the same rate. We're just going to be underserved. So I think that the people who are going to win out on that one more specifically are the ones that really invest in their internal training and onboarding and education functions in the business to actually build the talent that they need to perform and not just rely on poaching. Because let me tell you, I've got a recruitment agency. The cost of talent is going up, and you know, you can't sit there and try and poach someone, for us at least, at double the salary, because our whole position is geolocation-based arbitrage. If we're now only 50% cheaper than what it is in the US instead of, you know, a third or a quarter, then the model starts to break down. So you really need to get creative as to how you nurture and build your teams out and how you build the right incentives and you incentivize the right behavior and you educate your team in the right way. I'd say those are two. But honestly, I mean, the list goes on. We're moving into an age of professionalization in the e-commerce space with all this venture capital rolling in. And, you know, before you know it, institutional money is about to roll in too. And that's going to make all these aggregators look like small-time players long-term. So, you know, the reality is now is the time to really get your ducks in a row, oil that machine, and really build a system that will enable you to scale both from a personnel and an operations perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting. The personnel piece is huge, especially because, you know, now people are expecting to be able to work from home or have flexible hours or, you know, I mean, whatever other benefits are becoming so much more normalized nowadays. You know, but another piece you touched on, one of the biggest changes that I've been hearing in business for the past, you know, 3 to 5 years is the shift from, you know, the 5-year strategy for a business to, you know, more like yearly updates, right? And so being able to be agile, go with the flow, you know, obviously, especially in light of all the changes we've seen recently. But so we just talked about, you know, businesses that are dealing with this change and how they can think long term about it. But does the scaling process look different for a brand that has so much demand at the present moment, they have no choice but to scale, versus one that's able to move more slowly and think more long term? Is there any difference you can pinpoint?
I mean, you know, if you're fortunate to have that level of growth, and you know, strap it on and just absolutely drive forward, because you know it's a great opportunity that presents itself. I'd say that, you know, there's definitely something to be said on people make businesses, not businesses. So also understanding the DNA of the individuals and the team collectively that are driving that business forward will also dictate, you know, what that looks like. So if I have more time to build, my favorite quote, or one of them, is Abe Lincoln's quote. Abe Lincoln, he quoted, Oh, he famously said, if I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first 4 sharpening my axe. And so for those who are going to be more strategic and invest in the planning, and we do this, I mean, before we hit record, I was telling you about the 4 disciplines, the 4DX of execution, and how we're building the 15-month roadmap of what it looks like. But we've also built McKinsey's 3 horizons. We're already working onto what horizon 2 and horizon 3 of our business look like. And that's sort of the 3 to 5 years out. So I would say that it depends on the business owner. There's obviously going to be, there's obviously more value in the planning and the long-term strategic decision-making and vision and building, because you take on a lot more of the control. And when we build our plan, you know, our deviations and our swings will be very small. Whereas if there is no planning or it's very short term, then you're constantly in this battle of trying to adapt to market, you know, market volatility. Whereas if you build a hypothesis and you drive toward it, you know, the adjustments are incremental. And I would say as well, like even when I built or when I pitched the team, the initial founding team of Multiply Me, you know, I put together a business model canvas. It's a 1-page A4 sheet that talks about 7 of the key drivers that make businesses business. Where your customer is going to come through, what's the financial structure around it, how are our strategic, like what are our partnerships going to look like, or our partners. I mean, I built that, and then we built together a baseline financial model around the business and what does a positive ROI look like and how long will it take us to get there. And so, you know, I know I'm being a little long-winded here, but I'm a real advocate in long-term strategic planning. I think 5 years, especially for business, it's a long time to plan out, especially when you're talking about a business like us that's been around for 2 years. So we really look to nail the next 12 to 18 months now, because we're getting a little bit older. But, you know, we're already starting to touch on what is 3, 4, and 5 years look like for us. So, you know, it's very hard to, at least for me, in my experience, what I've been through, is very hard to imagine a 10-year future and your, you know, your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal of what that looks like. I'm not there yet. You know, I probably had 10 to 15 years of business experience. So it's very hard for me to project out my entire business career into the future, you know, in terms of what's happened to date. But yeah, there's a long-winded answer for you, Nate.
No, but I mean, it's important to have this, the long-term goals, because then the short-term goals are built to be built, move you towards that, right? I mean, you may not, in 5 years, you may not be where your 5-year strategy says right now, but you had that vision to set and to strive for, right? So I think that that's still immensely important. You know, Yanni, I think that, you know, we could probably chat about this kind of stuff for the rest of the day. But so in light of your time, want to be conscientious of it, where can our listeners, you know, get in touch with you and your team if, you know, what we've said has resonated with them and they want to learn more about Multiply Me or Escala?
Sure. Yeah. If you're looking for Multiply Me or Escala, I'm sure you probably have show notes, but multiplyme.com, me spelled M-I-I, and that'll get you a booking call with Kat. She'll walk you through our business and how we can help and the different models and how we deliver solutions. Or Escala, we'll actually get me at the minute. So if you book in there, you'll have a chat with me, and then you'll be ferried off to Lippy, who will actually go in and ask you all the questions around what's actually happening inside of your business. If you want to just connect with me, because you want to connect with me, then I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So Yanni Kosminski can find me there, or Yanni at either one of our websites will get me via email too. So yeah, always happy to connect with people who are willing to listen this long into a session with me.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we'll make sure to have those in the show notes. Appreciate you sharing them, Yanni. Thanks for having the conversation with us today, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks for having me, Nate. That was great.
That's it for this episode of E-Commerce with Coffee, powered by Amber Engine. If you haven't gotten your fix yet, be sure to get more e-commerce brand secrets on our website at amberengine.com. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes.